The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov, a little bit sunnier today in Israel, although we are still expecting the heavy snow to come in the next few days. So everybody's still geared up, even though today is a little bit better and perhaps deceiving in the sense that it's sunny and it looks at least from inside to be a little warmer outside than we've had over the past few days, but also with news that the former Supreme Court Chief Justice Miriam Naor has died at the age of 74. She unfortunately came under immediate attack from members of the right wing in the political sphere. No sooner had the news of her death been announced. She was one of the trailblazers in Israeli legal history, having been, of course, the Chief Justice for a period of 2 years between 2015 and 2017. And she was also in the process of heading the State Commission of Inquiry into the disaster at Har Meron, Mount Meron, last year. And it's not clear exactly how that commission of inquiry will proceed. We expect that somebody else will need to be announced to head that up. We expect that current Supreme Court Chief Justice Esther Chayot will name a replacement in the coming days. But certainly Miriam Naor has left her mark on Israeli legal history. She was considered to be something somewhat left wing in some of the judgments that she handed down, and hence the attack that she came under immediately when her death was announced. But to be fair, former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had said that she had left a deep commitment to the State of Israel and to the world of law, which she greatly contributed to in her life. So some very, very kind words and eulogy of the late Chief Justice Miriam Naor, who died at the age of 74.
Former Prime Minister Netanyahu is reported to have rejected any plea bargain that includes guilt or moral turpitude. What kind of plea bargain is it if it doesn't include guilt?
Guilt or moral turpitude clause. I mean, the issue of moral turpitude, and we've discussed it a little bit, is the fact that the moment you accept moral turpitude and guilt on the charge of moral turpitude, then you are effectively banned from politics for period of 7 years. And I think that this banning for 7 years and exclusion from the political environment is what's concerning him more than anything else. There have been so many reports circulating over the past few weeks. We discussed it last week as well, as a result of these reports and certain rumors that had been roaming around about what might come in the next few weeks. But he's former Prime Minister Netanyahu has actually released a video saying that he will not accept a deal which includes guilt on the charge of moral turpitude, and that he will continue to lead the Likud and to continue to lead the right-wing camp. That's the way that he sees things moving forward. Now, what's also interesting is that the State Attorney General, Avichai Mandelblit, is due to complete his term in office on the 1st of February. So this was really the last gasp attempt to try to come to an agreement with him before he leaves office. He has already announced that no deal can be made while he is in office any longer. He has clearly said that, you know, there's no possible way that this can be concluded before he leaves office. And his replacement is due to just be a temporary replacement in the form of Amit Eisman, who is currently a state attorney and has been announced as a temporary replacement until a new permanent attorney general is appointed. And Amit Eisman has already indicated that he will certainly not be touching this case while he acts in the temporary capacity. He doesn't feel that he has the right or the authority to do so, acting as a temporary attorney general. So this case is clearly going to go on ice, at least for now. And then just another little sort of added piece of information is that in the next few weeks, we expect a new witness to take the stand in the trial, which is going on in parallel. And Shlomo Filber is a person who was very, very close to Netanyahu during the time that he served him in the prime minister's office. And he's now turned state's witness. And so one wonders whether some of the evidence that Shlomo Filber will deliver in his examination, in the way that he presents things, will swing the plea bargain deal one way or the other. It's going to be interesting to see whether some of that information that Shlomo Filber might have to make public will influence this in some way. But at least for now, we understand there is no plea bargain. All bets are now off as far as the plea bargain is concerned, both in terms of the accused former Prime Minister Netanyahu said no moral turpitude for him, and in terms of the state attorney's office and in the form of the attorney general, he said without moral turpitude and without a period of exclusion from politics, he's not willing to come to any agreement. And in parallel to that, there's been some sort of an attempt to try to put some bill through the Knesset that would prevent anybody who committed a crime involving moral turpitude from ever serving as prime minister, minister, or even as a member of Knesset or mayor of a city. So there is now an attempt to take this moral turpitude even a step further and not only exclude people for a period of 7 years, but potentially for a lifetime from certain positions within the political environment. So there's a lot of action going on right now, but as far as we're concerned, no plea bargain on the table.
I wonder who's giving Netanyahu his advice, because he really does not seem to be getting very good advice.
Well, if you take the cynical point of view that comes out through the press, and people are saying that advice is coming from his wife, who definitely doesn't want him to be excluded from politics. You know, the cynics amongst us will say that she's the one who's really driving him to be a public figure more and more. She appreciates and enjoys that particular status that she has as the wife of a very public figure, a status that she's enjoyed already for a number of years. Obviously, he has a legal team. And if we believe what we read in the newspapers, I think that his legal team were quite eager for him to accept this plea bargain, particularly because it means that he won't have to go to jail, which seems inevitable if he's found guilty of any of these charges.
Right.
Difficult to say. But what we know is that by not accepting the plea bargain, this is playing a long game, because this court case is due to roll for some time. And the longer it rolls, potentially the more tired people become and the more inclined they become to enter into deals that might bring it to an end.
A further cynical view may be that it's not that she doesn't want him out of politics, but maybe she wants him in jail for a little bit, to just have a bit of a break. But all right, who knows? I guess we'll watch to see how this plays out. People were injured when Jewish extremists attacked an Arab village. What was the story? What is the story?
A very, very unfortunate story, and for those who might accuse me of only giving the good side of Israel and presenting the good news, this is a story that I feel obliged to report on, even though I feel very sad at having to do so. But we understand that Jewish extremists yesterday paraded through the Arab village, an Arab village, or the Arab village of Hawara, and apparently this came on the back of the release of a Jewish extremist who had been jailed for attacking Arabs before, and he had been released yesterday. And in order to celebrate this person's release, we understand that this group of extremists went into Hawara, which is a town near to Nablus, and they went through the town with a convoy of vehicles honking the horns and blasting music, but more cynically also throwing stones at people. And apparently during that stone throwing episode, there were Arab residents of the town who were injured. And apparently they also threw stones at businesses and at parked cars. So not only were people injured, but also there was damage done to property. And the worrying thing is that this particular town is within Area C, which means it is completely under the control of Israel from a security point of view, from applying the legal system. It's completely under Israeli control, and one would like to think that Israeli police or soldiers would get involved and prevent these people or arrest them for carrying out these attacks. But from the stories that I've read, they were not arrested, at least at the time. I'm not quite sure whether something might be done in retrospect to try to round up these individuals. But this is not welcome. And this is really not what our being in our homeland is all about. We do have conflicts, and we do have ways of having to deal with those. We have an army, we have a government, we have elected officials. They are the people who have the right and the obligation to protect us and to carry out whatever security exercises are required in order to protect our safety. And it's not up to us to go on our own volition and attack individuals, attack civilians, attack property belonging to other people, whether they have carried out those attacks against us or not. I mean, there may well be reprisal attacks because other, you know, attacks have been carried out in the opposite direction, but it's not up to us to go and simply take the law into our own hands and to carry out these attacks. And this is a very unfortunate incident, one which I feel obliged to report very sadly. But unfortunately, it's true. And we will now watch to see how the authorities will react. We know that there was already condemnation from the UK, which called for action against this violence. Members of the government have already become involved because Defence Minister Benny Gantz has pledged more action against what he calls nationalist crime. And he avoided specifying exactly who was responsible for carrying out these attacks. But he's clearly on the case and he understands that this is not a good thing. I hope that this can be really put an end to. Unfortunately, there have been similar attacks. This is not the first time that things like this have happened. There have been similar attacks. And mostly it's youth, some as young as 12, 13, 14 years old, who are involved in carrying out these attacks. We're not proud of this. This is not the way that the Jewish state operates. Individuals going out, if people want to protect themselves and to protect their property, they have the right to join the army and to operate under the orders that are given by the military senior brass, as well, of course, as the political echelon. It's not up to individuals to do this. Unfortunately, this is the case.
Yeah, as horrific as this is, though, what is interesting is that you certainly don't have a call by the British or anyone else when the violence is the other way around. And I'm not, of course, condoning it. I think it's absolutely outrageous and horrific and needs to be dealt with in the strongest terms. But that said, the reaction to it, the difference in the reaction to it is interesting, perhaps because it's more unusual, but nevertheless, it's just worthy of being noted, I think. 35 experiments have been agreed upon ahead of the upcoming visit to the International Space Station by an Israeli astronaut. This is incredible. Tell us about it.
This is really a great story. And of course, the second Israeli who is due to go into space sometime towards the end of March is Eitan Stiba. He is currently in training at NASA and also practicing to undertake these 35 scientific, medical and educational experiments that have been now finalized that he will undertake during his week-long visit to the International Space Station. He is due to go into space currently on the 31st of March, that's the current date, and he will travel on a SpaceX Dragon capsule, which of course is the Elon Musk company that has already had a number of successful launches into space using the SpaceX company and the Dragon. We've seen that already launched. This is going to be a private launch into space rather than one that has been put together by NASA. I'm not exactly sure how the whole payment system works, but there is a company that has been put together in order to facilitate this private launch into space at the end of March. And it's going to be very interesting and very exciting to see another Israeli astronaut in space this time. We hope it all works out well and very, very safely indeed. But also, let's talk about some of those experiments. I mean, you know, the headlines say space meat and hummus, that these experiments have been put together by a team of Israeli scientists. They've been approved by the Ramon Institute, set up in memory of the first Israeli astronaut, Ilan Ramon, and members of his family. And there's some quite fascinating experiments. And perhaps over the next few weeks, we can talk, just to feed them and to listeners. If listeners are interested to hear more about some of these experiments that have been put together, 35 all in all, I can't pretend that I'm going to be able to understand all of them or even any of them, but I'm happy at least to talk about some of the concepts if people are interested to hear about them. And perhaps once in a while, we'll just have a little corner where we'll talk about another of these experiments. But this is very, very exciting. And we certainly hope that this will go well and will bring more credit, not only to the Israeli space industry with an Israeli astronaut, but of course, will give a little bit more more airtime to some of the amazing scientific developments and experiments that Israelis have put together in order to test them in space. And some people have said that by testing these experiments in space, that it'll really cover years of work that would have been done on Earth by managing to do it for that week that Eitan Stibler will be in space. So some really exciting news to look forward to over the next couple of months. Some food-related experiments, we
can
talk about those as well.
It can't be Israel and Jewish without having food experiments, can it?
Exactly. So if people are interested, let me know, and I would be happy to at least cover some of them, at least to the extent that I can understand them.
But I think I can tell you right now, Anthony, we want the food ones. We want the food experiments. I'm speaking on behalf of me and our listeners. But definitely we want to hear some about some of these experiments. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. What a great story, and certainly the great, great way to end the Israel Report this morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.